Let's go to Luke.
Where?
Lukenbach. Lukenbach 6.
Not Lukenbach, Texas.
We've talked a lot lately about, well, Ole's talked extensively about humility. We've talked a lot about faith. Last night I was talking about faith and love, that by the love is the means of faith being manifest. We see faith through love. We don't even know what love is. It was real interesting last night when we had our visitor, that you sit and you read the scriptures about it, and then a situation arises in your life where now it's, what does it look like? How does love manifest itself when there's some stress in your life, or a test and a trial? And then you got to put the book away. You can't read the book and do the love. And so it's a real challenge when real life confronts you, and this is what you study all the time, but you can't use this to do that. So either love and faith is in, of, and part of you, or is you, or you're a Pharisee performing the acts so that you will have some feeling of righteousness that you're doing the right thing.
That can only last so long.
And that doesn't last long, and it stinks, and we know it.
Stinks.
Yeah, and you're immediately convicted by it, thank God. So, but it's, and I hate to say these things, it's you know, we need those situations regularly to bring us into the reality, so that, I mean, it's easy to sit around and just get high on reading scriptures and feel great, and oh boy, this is good stuff. But then to have it in your face, and how, and God is faithful to provide every man and woman a few situations, probably daily, to see himself correctly. And we have to meet every morning to see ourselves correctly. But in Luke 6, starting at about 20, let's just go through there and see if we see something. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you, blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Okay, just right out of the chute, for as far as this morning, we don't want that. I don't want to be poor, but I do want the kingdom of God. But which is more important? I love it if you hear and if you see correctly. These words are very meaningful and powerful to you. If you're still walking as a Gentile, these words disturb you because you say, "Well, I don't want to be poor." But if being poor provides you the ability to see the kingdom of God, then let's be poor, because it's that kingdom that our life is all about. And blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled. I don't want to be hungry. Blessed are you that weep, for you shall laugh. All these things come against your flesh, because the flesh wants all the stuff. And God has turned it all around so that his kingdom is always seen in the weakness, and in Zion, in the dry place. Everything, it's so amazing how he's protected himself from flesh, because flesh just won't go there. Doesn't want anything to do with all the suffering and the sorrow and the pain, thinking that that's bad. We judge it bad, and yet God has provided the entry to the kingdom through the very things that we don't want to entertain. So he's protected himself, and it's only by faith and surrender that we'll even enter in to these arenas, because we'll have stopped judging good and evil. We've talked about this all our life now, it seems, judging good and evil, and yet it's still endemic to the old man to do it. He just does it. So without this continuum of abandonment of self, we will do the same thing that we say we shouldn't do, because that's all man can do. You know, and that's why the preaching of the cross is, Paul said, I am determined to preach nothing but the cross. And I thought, well, that kind of limits you, doesn't it? Actually, no. It's like if the cross isn't preached at every turn, then God doesn't have a chance at the resurrection, because he won't interfere when you're engaged.
If it's other than the cross, it's nothing more than problem solving.
Yeah.
Not specifically a pleasant situation, but any yeah. situation where somebody's upset with another person or whatever, it's either the cross or problem solving. And there's no end to problem
yeah.
solving.
It's just no. And it doesn't solve the problem.
It doesn't solve the problem.
Because the problem.
The problem is you.
Yeah. And it
Nobody
has to.
Wants to hear that one.
Exactly. And it's very hard to say that without in love without killing someone, because the desire is to destroy, but that's not right either. So it really is an amazing. You have, especially in those situations, abandonment is, oh my God, at least I can abandon self. Because that's when it kicks into high gear of abandonment of self and the denial of self and, you know, turning from wanting to destroy someone who can't hear. So, scary almost. And it says, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. That's blessed, because that means the cross is being preached and man doesn't like it, and he will attack the messenger. I mean, we see that all the time. When you really have focused in on that and are firm in it, then you are blessed that men hate you, because it means you have seen something. That's blessed, to have seen and understand. There's your blessing. And it doesn't matter that men hate you, so what? You know, people hate you, they love you, and, you know, it's just an opinion. It's a momentary emotion. But to have seen, and it's a fixed reality by this little thing we read here, that's important. It says, rejoice you in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in a like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. If you are rich, and it doesn't just mean rich in dollar bills. You know, rich can be in opinions, rich in esteem, righteousness, rich in anything that enhances and your gain. Woe unto you, because that's all you get. That's where it is. That's your reward, and it's going to last another couple hours, and that's it. You know, those rewards don't mean anything. They don't last, and you need another one tomorrow. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. This so puts you on the line, and the only line it puts you on is perfect honesty of what's going on with you. You can't, again, use this to rearrange your words and your speakings so that you won't be thought poorly of. Just pure honesty should bring you to the point, being who you are at any moment. That's all that's required. And if God and Christ in you is effective, you know, things will happen. It might take a long time, might take years and years, but honesty, it's like it took 25 or 30 years to get you where you were or are. It takes that long to get out of what you've been programmed into, to where you're perfectly content in just being. You don't need the stuff of this world.
And it's it takes a long time with me, but I think it takes an instant when you, in a moment.
To see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there is a time frame, I mean, we've all been in it, where daily another, I didn't know I still carried that, we die. And that's the process of working out our salvation in fear and trembling. The fear and trembling is that it might not get worked out to me, that God would forsake me and stop testing and proving me.
The picture of this is the conversation between Christ and the rich young ruler. Because the rich young ruler is us, you know, asking Christ, what do you want me to do? What do I do to,
yeah,
to be right? What do I do?
Do the works of God.
What's the requirement?
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus answered him, and he said, well, I've done that. I checked. I'm okay on that one. At the end of which, the implication is he's standing there saying, okay, I've got it. I've figured it out. I've done it. I'm okay. And Christ says, now, take all that you've got and go give it to the poor.
Sell all.
The guy couldn't do it. I mean, he had many possessions. Not talking about the fact that he was a rich young ruler. He talked about all these possessions he had inside himself.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. There's only one thing
missing.
There's
no way to get through that other than death.
Mm-hmm.
Christ
had
to let him walk away and die.
That's right. It almost seemed cruel.
Well, that's why it's so fascinating. This thing Ole talks about, he thinks he can prove that the rich young ruler was Lazarus.
Yeah.
Because when you put those two stories together, Lazarus is somebody he knew and loved.
Mm-hmm.
Lazarus is somebody he could have gone and raised from the dead and kept him from dying, really, and didn't do it. He purposely waited until he died, until he was in the grave 3 days, which meant the angel of death had poured the vial on his lips and it was too late and he could never be saved. And his family was pissed off at him.
Yeah.
And then Christ goes and calls him fool.
Yeah.
But
death was certain.
His death was caused by thinking he was.
Yeah. He could be.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I've done the law.
Yeah. And the gulf. There's such a gulf between, you know, we would do anything to find the way around death. Yeah, we've all sought salvation without the cross.
To quote somebody we used to know, I am so right.
Yeah, I'm so right.
I'm completely right in this.
God, thank you. I'm finally so right.
When you hear that coming out of your mouth, you better watch out.
I am so right, yeah. Ooh.
Run from yourself.
Yeah. At every turn. Okay, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. If you find yourself in a place where you cannot do that, that's great, because then you know you have not picked up the cross, and there's your opportunity to repent, and that's the blessing of that thing. And when you have died to self, then you can and will pray for your enemies. I know we've all struggled with that, you know.
Otherwise, you go to the other one, which is thank you for not making me like that.
Yeah, like that heathen over there.
The person who got it right.
Yeah.
There's no escaping.
Yeah, it's like what Wade said. Did you just cut him off and cuss him, get mad, and now you just say, oh, that person.
Yeah. And either way, you know,
either way,
it's stinking. It's incredible. Ooh. But when you come to that point where you really can pray for your enemy, that really is so perfect. And what's great about it is, I mean, otherwise you entertain hatred. I mean, hatred dwells in you, and it's what you become, and it starts coming out everywhere. And in the body, it's leaven. That's why the feasts are so adamant about confession of faults and sins before we can start. And that's why Achan, you know, the picture of Achan, who all of Israel is being destroyed because Achan, one man, is hiding sin. That's a convicting thing to think that one person can destroy this body. You know, you think, oh, I'm not important around here. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody else is doing this. And I'm just so-and-so. You know, every man has that in him to destroy us with leaven. Yeah. And it goes either way. I mean, Oli probably feels like that. I can feel like that. It doesn't matter what I think. I can brush this off. Well, that's so dangerous. I mean, what we're doing is dangerous. It just can, because we're dealing with life and death on a grand scale. Yeah. And we think we're something. I am something. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer him also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. And this is when you know that you have picked up the cross, because then faith and love is what you are about, and you have truly denied self. Self is the only one that would not want to do this, and self is the one who would say, well, you can have my coat but not my hat or whatever. So
it's kind of like Ruth Reed last night about the charity.
Could you speak up? I can't hear.
I said it was kind of like last night when we were talking about
in Corinthians 13.
They said the charity is the greatest of all.
Yeah.
That last verse.
Yeah. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And love is the very manifestation of God acting through you, as you. That's the greatest. There's nothing, there's no other place higher than that. That's the pinnacle. And give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love you your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And judge not, and you shall not be judged. And condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Impossible for the old man, that's all the new man does. You can't hear these words and say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do now. I get it. This morning I heard, and I'm going to change my ways. Yeah. Hopefully the only thing you've heard is that by the preaching of the cross and by the power of your death and the mercy of God's resurrection in you, we will then be able to see these things take place. And then we'll know that the gospel is being fulfilled in us by the power of the one who fulfills it, and not by our own self-righteousness. So stay in the rest. Let God be God. Let Him do His work. Amen.
I'm your enemy today.
I just love everybody.
I do too. At least those people that cut me off. Smile, brother. There it is. Now hold that thought. Well, the coolest thing about all this is that it's nothing we have to do. It's nothing we can do. I remember after going to Christ for the Nations, went to a Bill Gothard concert. Oh, man, if anybody's ever been to a Bill Gothard concert. This is Bill Gothard. Bill Gothard. Yeah. With folders, and he's got a trillion things you got to do before you're there. And they all sounded great. Oh, that one's a good one. Oh, boy, this is good. This is good. Oh, this is good stuff. Yeah. Baloney.
You know, while you were talking there, he had something that came through the cloud into my understanding. And we were talking about the rich young ruler having all these possessions, and we're talking over here about all the stuff you just read, the stuff about love, believes all things and love,
hopes all things.
It's like, and you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. I mean, there's just hundreds and hundreds and thousands of things that basically say that God defies logic.
Yeah.
You know, because a simple one, logic says, love those that love you and protect yourself against those that hate you.
Right.
But everything in that book is saying, no, no, the logical is wrong.
That's right.
Two and two don't equal four. If this, then this is not right.
Yeah.
It only appears that way.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so
and logical. And this machine that can only perform logically can't do this. Can't grasp it. That's right. And if we don't see that, we won't know that we have to abandon it. That's the perfect saying, because
the idea of distrusting logic and distrusting what seems right, and distrusting what seems prudent, what seems smart, and obvious.
Yeah.
Really is saying that.
And that's powerful. I know it happens
that's
in marriages.
Weird. Yeah, that's weird.
When I want to explain something to Judy, she responds before I get my logic out. And I get so mad. Listen to my logic, and then you'll come to my side. We'll be in agreement here.
That's what everybody, always what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
She's sitting there laughing at you.
She responds, she prophesies. Way too soon.
We saw that last night.
Yeah, we see it occasionally.
When that individual was presenting their case to the court, the first thing they talked about was how much money they had.
Yeah.
And then when asked about it, said, well, that didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
Well, then why did you mention it?
Yeah.
Why was it your legal?
Yeah. It was the logic.
But when it's you don't believe it.
That's right. And that's one of our most precious things, is our logic. I mean, geez, take that away, and what do we got?
Well, how can you live without it?
Mental illness?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Mental illness.
That's where the logic is.
I thought you said Mel Tillis.
All right, I think we better go now. All right.